Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our March Digging Deeper into DISC call. I want to thank everybody for joining us this morning, and I'd like to begin the call with a word of prayer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the many blessings that you give us. And today, Lord, I just give you thanks for strength, for life, and for health. And for all those who were able to join us and those that weren't, and we ask that you bless each and every one of them and their families. Today, Lord, I pray for the leaders of our country and that you would be with them and help them be wise, and especially those that serve overseas and in the military, protect them, Lord, and help them to feel a deep and close presence with you. And Father, now open our hearts, open our minds to what you would have us learn today. And Father, we just pray that in all things that we do and say that we honor and glorify you. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Well, Rich and I will be going through the DISC collaboration report with you today, just giving you a high-level overview. And before I kind of launch into a little bit of an introduction of that, Rich is going to just say a few words about DISC and just how we might think about it in a different way.
I was reminded this weekend as I was reading a wonderful book called When God Doesn't Fix It, again, of what our purpose is as we look at this DISC model, and again, why do we do this as a part of Lead Like Jesus, remembering our mission in Lead Like Jesus is to glorify God by inspiring and equipping people to lead like Jesus. And so some people might ask, well, why would you add the DISC model? And one of the things I love about our biblical DISC is that we have the characters from Scripture identified with their behaviors. And I was reading in this book about those characters. And I love what Laura's story says. She says, everything I know about God, I learned from stories about his people. A child's picture Bible was my first introduction. Later, my Sunday school teacher taught the Bible with the help of a flannel board and felt cutouts. And for a few of us in the boomer generation, at least, we probably remember the flannel boards and the felt cutouts. And she says that was our generation's video game. Of course, we didn't have a controller, a video, or a game. But we did leave church with stories about God's people. And, of course, the moral was be obedient like Noah, be persistent like Abraham, be courageous like David. Some of those kinds of morals of the story. But she goes on to say what we know is that all of those patriarchs and matriarchs of old really messed up. Very often when we read the stories, sometimes it's hard to believe that God would include these people in Scripture because of all the ways we messed up. And then the author of this book reminds us that we do the same thing. She says, so many times our actions haven't been God-honoring or Christ-like. We've been faithless more than we've been faithful. And the fact that our life stories can't withstand moral scrutiny any better than these biblical life stories shouldn't surprise us because that's the story we're living in. We've all been corrupted by the fall, and our sins are the result. So I love this conclusion. She says, with that understanding in mind, let's look back at some of these heroes of the faith and recognize that God didn't call us to be like them. So even though in our biblical DISC we help people understand which biblical character are you most like, when we think about our model for leadership, our model for parenting, our model for being a good spouse, pastor, teacher, whatever our role is, of course, Jesus. So she says, God never asked us to be like Noah, David, Daniel, or any other biblical example except Jesus. And of course, that's what we think about when we think about biblical DISC, is what did God call us to? Jesus, in kind of our signature verse in John 33 or 34, 35 for the biblical DISC, is as Jesus is talking to the disciples at the Last Supper, and after washing their feet, he says, a new command I give you, to love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So as we think about why are we even doing this, why are we talking about DISC, what does a collaboration report have to do with our spiritual life, it's really all about love, and that's a big part of what we teach, of course, in terms of our leadership model. So as we launch into this collaboration report, let's think about it's really pointing us to carry out God's command, Christ's command, to love each other as he loved us. So we're hopeful that you have that collaboration report in front of you. We're going to spend maybe 30 minutes or so just kind of walking through that, and we'll get some feedback from those on the phone as well.
Well, thank you, Rich. First of all, I'd like to just kind of give you an overview of the DISC collaboration report in terms of what it is, when you would use it, and where it is available to you. The DISC collaboration report is a free report and can be generated between any two individuals who have completed a DISC assessment. So this could be either the Biblical Behavioral Assessment or the DISC Behavioral Assessment. And on your OASIS, and of course that's an acronym for our Online Assessment System and Information Site, that is where you send out your links and codes for people to take assessments, and it's also where you manage and store them. And this, of course, is where you can generate your collaboration reports. So once you have a couple of folks in there who may work together or live together or in some way, shape, or form interact with each other, you can generate this report on them. And there's actually two reports. There's one that says, in this case, J sample to Julie sample, and then the other one is Julie sample to J sample, or whatever their names might be. And they're almost identical, but of course each one speaks specifically to the person of the report as they relate to the other person. So the collaboration report presents the key features of interpersonal relationships between the two individuals, highlighting those areas side by side. That's what I love about that. Each page you can look at one person and the other person, all of the different attributes side by side. And here's where you can see where they will be most similar and most dissimilar in their perspective and behavioral tendencies. And then the report just goes on to show very specific areas where we mesh together in our likenesses and where we potentially could have misunderstandings. And then we also just see areas of strengths, work style tendencies, motivators, and communication do's and don'ts and struggles. So it's really a pretty comprehensive report when you can see all the different information. So we see this as a great tool to be used in a work setting between, say, a manager and someone who reports to them, or people who are peers and they work side by side. So we're very excited that we have this report to be able to generate, and it can be generated as many times. So the manager wanted to do this on 10 people, she and the 10 people who reports to her, she could do that.
So as you look at the report itself, page 2, of course, the table of contents, which Barbara just alluded to. Page 3 gives us an introduction of DISC, and so this will look similar to page 8 from your BBA report. Basically, it's an overview of the four styles in just some different categories like pace, priority, what they seek, what they fear, all the way down to planning their voice, tone, and their workplace behavior. And as you may recall in the BBA, what we ask people to do is to pick out their highest style on their graph to their natural graph, and then go down through the column that most fits them and do a plus minus question mark. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Are there any things you're not sure about? And discuss that with someone. But this is just a chance, if you would be walking someone through this, to give them a way to personalize the DISC information and make sure that it fits them. One of the things that, if you have the report in front of you or just a piece of paper, just to remind you of the model again, go ahead and draw a circle, if you would please, maybe at the bottom of page 3 here on the collaboration report or just on a piece of paper. put a cross through that all the way from top to bottom of the circle, a straight line down and then a straight line across. And of course what that does is divides it into the four quadrants. And just a reminder of two of the models, sometimes we call these dashboards. What are we really measuring here? What are we looking at? Just like on a car, we look for the dashboard for information about how well our car is performing. This is a dashboard of human behavior. So we have both our guarded and open and our pace and priority models. So just to start with your circle in the upper right quadrant, we're going to put D in the lower right I, lower left S, upper left C, and that, of course, is our DISC model. Well, how does that, how do we get to that? If we think of our direct and open, or guarded and openness model on the right side of the circle, just outside, that's people who are more direct, so you can put that word there, or also underneath that, fast-paced. So D's and I's are more direct and move at a faster pace. On the left side, outside the circle, more indirect. And these folks move at a more moderate pace. We don't generally say slower pace because some people don't like that, but S's and C's will tend to move at a more moderate pace and be less direct, whereas the D's and I's are more direct and move at a faster pace. Then if you think about the vertical line just on the outside of the top of the circle, these are people that are more guarded in their behavior. They don't open up as freely, for example, and they're also task-focused. So the D's and C's are more guarded in behavior, more task-focused. At the bottom of the circle, more open and people-focused. So the I and the S are more willing to share what they're thinking, what they're feeling. They wear their emotions on their sleeve, someone once said, especially about the I behavior, and they have much more of a people focus than a task focus. So that really kind of helps us understand, again, what are we looking at here? And of course, the crux of the report here in terms of really getting some insights is on page 4. As we look at Jay and Julie side by side, we've got two different views here, what we call our circle or wheel view. And so this allows us to see both the natural style graph and the adapted style graph, the star and the circle, and they're plotted in color, if you were able to print this in color, inside that wheel. So we see Jay more towards the outer edge of the wheel. His natural behavior is much more D-oriented, leaning towards I, and his adapted style is pretty much the I takes over. And so Jay would have strong DI tendencies. Julie is a little more complex, if you will. She's got three behaviors that will creep up to above the midline on that second graph, her natural style. So we see her in the I leaning towards the S. And the further into the circle, as you may recall, the more the person is able to flex their behavior, the more people fall to the outside of the circle, like Jay, the less they can flex because they have higher tendencies there. So that's just one look at that. What's really fascinating to me is the graphs below, and a gentleman on the phone, I'll ask for your insights here in just a moment. What do you see as you look at the differences in the similarities between Jay and Julie, but on the lower left is the adapted style, so this is their graph one, so depending on what they focused on as they took the assessment, this is the way their graphs came out. Notice the graphs are side by side, so in this case, because this was the one printed for Jay, he's going to be first with the solid bar graph. Julie would be the second graph showing up, and that would be what we call the candy cane graph. So, and then to the right of that, of course, is the natural style, the graph two. So if we, let's stay with the natural style graph two on the right side, which is what the verbiage in this report will be based on. Just make a note of that, that all of the verbiage in this report is going to come up based on Jay and Julie's natural style, which is their graph two on the right there, lower right of page 4. But gentlemen, as you look at that graph 2 at the bottom right of page 4, where do you see Jay and Julie having the most challenges? In other words, what are their greatest differences in terms of style?
Well, certainly in each, graph 1 and graph 2, very different amount of focus on being direct, perhaps, or controlling with the D. In other words, in the natural style, J's D goes even higher, even though Julie goes up a bit. There's still quite a difference there in terms of that need.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ron. And that's exactly where they're going to have the most difficulties in the terms of how they handle problems and challenges. Jay is going to be much more direct, decisive, take charge. Julie's going to hold back more based on that very low D score that she shows. There's also some differences in their C behavior. That would be the next biggest difference. So you're just looking at the differences in the bar graphs. You'll notice at the bottom of these graphs you've got numbers. So if we look at the lower right graph in the C scores, J is 20, Julie is 84. So you've got a spread of 64. So those are just some things, if I were walking Jay and Julie through this, I would point out to them and ask them some questions. What does that look like at work? How does that manifest itself? What challenges does that create for you? And so that would be a place to start. And then secondly, we would say, so where do you most connect? And so which one would you say is closest in terms of DIS and C on this graph too?
Probably going to be helpful to them that they're both so comfortable in terms of their I behavior.
Absolutely. So that's going to be their greatest connecting point. So again, we could spend 15 minutes just on this page alone, as you can see, with a few questions, getting them involved in the discussions. There could be some very robust conversation that could happen around that. And that's pretty much the way I'd process them through that. Now we pretty much go to narrative, and we now really start to look at what we call the bullet point pages, which just give them a lot of information. Starting on page 5 with their classical style overview, this would be similar to pages 26 through 29 of the BBA, where we look at their 4 DISC plotting points in relationship to each other. So this is a look at all 4 of their plotting points now together, where we come up with what we call a classical style overview, a behavioral pattern that's kind of what we call classical. So we have 16 of these patterns, if you will, and that's, of course, where we correlate them to biblical characters in the BBA. In this case, J comes up as what we call a results-driven behavior. That's the higher D with the secondary I behavior. And then Julie comes up as an assessor, which is the high I with the secondary C. Anytime you have 2 or 3 points above the midline, you're gonna see some of these different styles come up. And that's how they are listed. And then, of course, 9 different characteristics about them listed here. Emotional characteristics, goals, how others are valued, how they influence the group, their value to the organization, what to watch out for when under pressure, and fears.
This is really kind of a great page in the whole collaboration report for the two of them to just share. And we often will ask people, well, highlight some things that really ring true to you. And then if they're sitting side by side, even though you may be with them helping them go through this report, this is just a time for them to share some things about themselves and specifically give personal examples. So it's easy for us to read through this, but then if they can give each other some good examples, especially when it comes to watch out for or fears, because those are two really hot buttons for us that we want other people to be aware of, because those can really cause us to get off track in terms of our behavioral style. So great page for just one-on-one sharing.
So just a quick comment on that based on Barbara's thought. When you look at the watch out for J, it can become too impatient and seek the I win, you lose scenario. In our spiritual understanding, this is obviously when we allow pride to take over or when we use our strengths too much. One of the key tenets of the DISC model, the key principles we talk about, is that your greatest strength can become your greatest weakness if it's overused, or as we might say, if you're in the flesh, if you're not living in the spirit, but living in the flesh. And of course, our great example of that from scripture is the Apostle Paul, who was out killing and tormenting Christians before the Lord turned him around. And so that's those kind of watch out gotcha areas to be careful about. Notice for Julie on this page, the watch out for can overstep bounds of authority and be overly clever. So that high I sometimes will just kind of do things impulsively, but also that need to be kind of clever or witty. Humorous, witty. Peter, of course, our great example of that with some of his comments to the Lord. And again, what's comforting to all of us, I think, as we think of these great biblical characters, is that God didn't leave them where they were in the flesh, but he, through the Spirit, brought them to a new place of understanding. And then, of course, we see the behavior that results from that. So that's not necessarily something we'd be talking about when we're doing this, unless we're dealing in a church or ministry setting, but it might be something interesting for people.
Okay, so our next page is we really focus now on the strengths of Jay and Julie. And this is another good page where you ask people to personalize it a bit, you know, put a star or a plus by those that you think are your greatest strengths. It's helpful for us in a work setting to know one another's great strengths, because that allows us to help assign people tasks. It allows us to help to create team members. So whenever we're working within the job situation, it's helpful for us to do this. So we just thought, Rich and I, as we went through this, we thought, well, let's just take a pass at this. Rich would imagine that he's Jay, and I would imagine that I was Julie, and we would say, okay, let's just share a couple of our strengths with each other and maybe give an example. So Rich, would you like to begin with Jay?
So if I'm Jay, I'm able, the very first bullet, to direct and motivate others while still being sensitive to their needs and concerns. So the high D behavior is really good at directing and motivating, but I also have enough I that I'm people sensitive, so I think that's a strength. And then third from the bottom, highly driven towards solutions and success, and I like to bring others along with me. So I guess the thing that I'm pleased about is that the Lord saw fit to give me both that D and I behavior that allows me to be task and people focused.
As I looked at Julie's strengths, it was very easy for me to go through this because Julie and I are very similar. We have both I and C tendencies in our behavioral style. So the things that I picked up on for Julie is, you, on the second bullet, you tend to be diplomatic in working with others. I really am very careful that I am always assessing the situation and including people in conversations or in team meetings, and so being diplomatic in even my comments. And then the bottom bullet for me, an optimistic team player, you are able to motivate others towards their goal. I really am a strong team player. I'm not much of a lone wolf at all. I like to do things in groups and with people, and so I could really, see myself in Julie here.
So this, as it says at the top of page 6 here, the last sentence in that first paragraph, the big question is, how can Jay and Julie best utilize their strengths when working together? That's what we would want to point them to if we were walking them through this collaboration report. Just give them a chance to brag a little bit. What do you do best? What are your strengths? And obviously, as Barbara said earlier, make sure that on a team setting, people are, you know, they're doing what they do best. And maybe if they have an area they're not as good at, they assign that out, they share that with someone else, that kind of a thing. So a lot of good insights here. The next two pages, we won't spend a lot of time on, but work style tendencies, page 7, the first paragraph again, second sentence, how do their work style tendencies mesh or clash? The good news for Jay and Julie, because they both do have the I in common, you'll see a lot of meshing on this page and little, not much clashing, frankly. I think the clash probably happens in that D difference again, or the C difference. But if you were to read through this, again, I think you'd see a lot of mesh and little clash. As you look at page 8, ideal environments, you do see some differences here. Just a couple that I might point out. By the way, again, at the top, notice the second part of that first paragraph. Jay and Julie can create an environment where they're most likely to be able to be self-motivated and motivate each other. So this is really helpful for a manager, again, working with one of his or her team members, or, again, people who work together, just thinking about how can I make this environment the most motivational for you. And so notice for Jay, the first bullet, he likes new and varied activities, and while Julie likes a variety of assignments, notice she likes highly specialized and assignments in technical areas.
So if I were managing both Jay and Julie, I could look at that information and see Jay really likes to launch into new projects. So if we've got a new product that we're going to be introducing in the company or something, I can really toss that out to Jay because he's going to be challenged by that. He's going to like that and really, you know, daring to go where others don't dare to go. Those are your D's. They'll jump into projects and maybe not even that they've got a lot of experience, but they're desire to take risks, to do something new, and to overcome challenges and solve problems really gets them going and charged. Where Julie might have some of that, but she really likes to be assigned tasks that are in her area of expertise because for Julie, she's a high I and she wants to shine. And she's going to shine when she's doing projects that has all of her strengths in line with the task that she's going to do. So someone who is looking at both Jay and Julie, works with them or manages them, can look at that. And then at the end of going through this page, just simply say, so just in your own words, Jay or Julie, just tell me what types of environments really get you charged. What do you look forward to when you come to work in the morning? And just see what they say. It's always good to get people to start expressing their feelings and thoughts in their own language. And with your D's and C's, you might say, what do you think about? And with your I's and S's, you might say, how do you feel about that? Because D's and C's are our thinkers, and I's and S's are our feelers.
Well said, Barbara. And just a couple other quick comments where I'd see challenges here for Jay and Julie. Third bullet down, right side under Julie, time to reflect and think about pros and cons. Jay doesn't need a lot of time. Remember, he's DI, he's faster paced, but Julie's got that C that's looming up there right close to her high I. So she's going to find that she wants more time to reflect on things. And then at the very bottom, the last two bullets, Jay on the lower left wants opportunities to try new ideas. He's going to go boldly where no one's gone before with that high D. But Julie, notice, wants established practices, procedures, and protocols. So that's an area that would be important for her. So
let's just take a minute here and just ask if you have any questions over those last few pages or this one before we finish up the rest of the report. Any thoughts, questions, or insights?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
How does this usually get set up? Is this like just the two of them will work on this, or are you involved in it also? What if they're in different locations? How does that work physically?
That's a very good question, Harry. Thank you. There's a lot of scenarios that can happen with a collaboration report. So For starters, you could do this face-to-face. Let's say that you're going to be doing an initiative in your organization. Maybe it's team building, it's leadership. After you've done some sort of a workshop, then you can say, now for those of you who work together, we can do a report for the two of you that gives you more information on how you can work more positively or more effectively together. And so you'd run this report and then have them read it and then say, let's get together and talk about it. And then you and the two people could literally go through those pages together, particularly maybe if they're having some struggles or challenges in their relationship. If they're already working very well together, then they're just going to probably have fun with this, and just encourage them to set up a time where they go through it and share some insights about one another and how that they can really maximize their working relationship. Can be done face-to-face. It could be done over the phone or FaceTime or Skype call, whatever is going to work best for the three people or two people involved.
Yeah, actually, Barbara and I just led a pair of colleagues from the West Coast through this about a week ago. Took an hour and just spent that time on the phone, first talking about their own assessment report and their own DISC style and giving them a chance to talk about strengths and areas to grow in and that kind of thing. And then we started going through this. It was just interesting to hear the two of them. This happened to be a male and a female coworker, how all of a sudden the examples started coming up, and one would say, well, remember that time when? And so it's really, it can be done certainly virtually, probably best done face-to-face. And while it's good to have a coach to take people through this, certainly they can sit down and just do it together as well. So thank you for that question. The final couple of pages here, page 9 is do's and don'ts. This is such a great page as you think about how to communicate with Jay. He could share some of his key things, like the first three bullets there, opportunity to express opinions and make decisions, be certain to conclude communication with modes of action. Because of that high I, Jay might need some direction from time to time, and he's not into details, so the third bullet, put the details in writing. For Julie, it might be the third bullet down, give her time to verify issues and potential outcomes. Plan to talk about things that support her dreams and goals, the third bullet from the bottom. And then be engaging, stimulating, and fast-paced. By the way, where Jay and Julie are really going to connect here on the do's, the very last bullet on the lower left there for Jay, plan some extra time in your schedule for talking, relating, and socializing. Notice those are the exact same words on the second to the last bullet for Julie, because they share that high I. They're very close in their I-ness, if you will. And then the bottom, of course, is all about the don'ts. This would be what to put up on your wall or on a t-shirt when you go to work, is if you want me to hear you, don't do this when you're communicating with me. So for Jay, don't be sloppy or disorganized. Don't be too task-oriented. And don't let the discussion get caught up in dreams, otherwise you'll lose time, because Jay will tell a lot of stories. And for Julie, the third bullet down, don't leave decisions hanging in the air. So she's going to want closure. Right under that, don't be impersonal or judgmental. And then the next bullet down, third to the bottom, don't rush issues or the decision-making process. So Julie's got those competing factors of I and C that are going to play into her don'ts in communication.
I think it's important to know, as you look at Jay and Julie, Jay being a D and an I, you might not always know who's going to come out of the den. The D can come out real strong, direct, dominant, results-oriented. And then the next moment you're with them, you might see this outgoing, fun, socializing, kind of a party animal guy. So you have to be aware that you're going to see two sides of that person and just be aware of that. And the same would be with Julie. There's a real fun, interactive, engaging side of her, but then there's another side, her C, that's going to want to be very thorough, exacting, much more moderate paced in making decisions. So when you have these two unique styles, you've got to be aware that they've got those personalities that can emerge at any given time. And that's, of course, what makes them so unique. And that's the way God made them.
That's right. So the final page looks at the struggles. I think this would be helpful. The thought, I think, in putting this together is that by this time, hopefully, there's enough authenticity and transparency that people are willing to share their struggles. While the instructions don't say this, the instructions say look at your struggles and then look back at the strengths that would help you overcome a struggle, which I think is a good exercise. I would definitely want to have them talk to each other about what are some areas you struggle in and what can I do to support you, to help you overcome that, deal with that, that kind of a thing. So I'll do Jay and Barbara will do Julie here just for a minute. For Jay, my strong ego makes me appear blunt and overly critical. The fourth bullet down, my sense of urgency might lead me to attempt too much, and that's something Dees would struggle with, of course. And then right under that, third bullet from the bottom, I could get better results by exercising more patience.
And Julie, it would be easy for me to see some of her struggles as she gets bogged down in the details. It's kind of like a security blanket in a high-pressure climate. So I know that I can have analysis paralysis because I work things over and over and over again. And probably another struggle for Julie and me would maybe to make promises a bit more than I can deliver. And that has a lot to do with wanting to please other people. It's hard for eyes to say no when they're asked to do things. And so we can sometimes say, yeah, I can do that, or, oh, sure, I'll be there. And then before we know, we've overbooked ourselves. And then I really thought Rich had a really good way of ending this, then saying to your workmate or your manager, then once you identify those struggles, then ask them, well, how can I help you with those? What would be ways I could support you in some of your struggles? And that really helps then bond team members or people who have to work together.
So that's the report. The final page, of course, just kind of what's next, and it encourages people to keep this information handy, to review it from time to time. The top of page 11, fourth paragraph down, reminds us of the platinum rule, treating others the way they want to be treated. And, of course, in our work at Lead Like Jesus, we also include the titanium rule, which we say is treat others the way Jesus would treat them. So as we wrap this up, just a reminder of the Lord's command, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And that's really what this information is all about, meeting the needs of people the way they like to be treated based on the way God created them. So thank you for your time on this call. We're going to open it up for any comments or questions, and then we'll wrap it up.
Thank you, Rich and Barbara. I'm chuckling. I was reminded of the days when I worked with Tom Peters, and we would be out doing workshops, and we'd get all excited. The client would come up, and they'd want a new workshop, and we'd brainstorm it and just get filled with ideas. Then I would call back to the company and speak to the dear people who then had to develop that workshop for us. Well, we were the D's and I's. I'll speak for myself, at least I was. And the people I was calling to typically see was their strongest behavior. The number of times I had to catch myself because I didn't have the detail, I didn't have it written down, I was just flying off in the excitement, and this dear person back at the office was trying to put the details together. If we hadn't had this language at that time to help keep each other on a similar track, I'm not sure we'd have had the fun or the success that we did.
That's great, Ron. That's such a way of seeing a real life example and what happens when different styles are working together. Thank you. You know, I do want to mention also we are currently creating a new report which we plan to give the name of disc relationship report that will be very similar to this one, but it will specifically be for marriage couples. So it will be a report that could be used prior to a wedding or after, if it's marriage counseling or consulting, whatever that might be. So the language will change just a little bit so that it very specifically is targeted towards a husband and wife or soon to be husband and wife, a couple man-woman relationship, and then certainly more of a biblical emphasis to it. So we anticipate having that out probably in the next 60 days, and we'll be very excited to add that to our list of offerings.
Great to have you join us today. Let's go love one another. Let me just say a word of prayer. Lord, commandment to us, for asking us to follow you, that others would know that we are your disciples because we do love each other. We believe we can do that, Lord, as we understand the needs of others and adjust and modify our behavior to be more like them to get the best results. Thank you for creating us uniquely as you have with the strengths and limitations we have. Help us to realize we need to depend on you to be our best for you to carry out your great commission. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, everybody. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.